In 14th century Turkey, for example, we know from the Chronicles of Saint-Denis that the son of the Ottoman ruler Murad I, King Bayezid, relied on spies and interpreters at his base in Adrianople to keep him well informed about the goings-on of the kings and kingdoms of Christendom farther west. And extolling the King of France above all others, he is said to have told Frenchmen many times that when he finished what he had begun in Hungary and neighboring regions, namely the sacking of churches, the brutal murder and enslavement of men, and the carrying off of women and children, that he intended to pay him, the King of France, a visit for sure. My point is simply that even as the Vatican was spying on others at and beyond the margins of Europe, others were in turn spying on the kings and kingdoms of Christendom, relying on espionage to inform them about their enemies. Especially after the sacking of Constantinople by the Muslim armies in 1204, Vatican counterintelligence grew increasingly wary of the Muslim hordes poised at the margins of Europe. In 1264, for instance, Pope Urban IV upbraided King Bela of Hungary for being so easily duped by Muslim spies. Urban was, quote, astounded that the king, after the universally known depredations by Muslim Tatars against the Christian religion, should have been deceived by Tatar messengers, nunti, or rather pestilential spies, the exploratore pestiferi, to the point of committing to his son Stephen to bonds of family or some other amicable covenant with them, these infidel Muslims. Past experience with the Tatars, the Pope insisted, had always meant the innocent shedding of Christian blood. As powerful as were the conflicts between the Vatican and Muslim territories in the Middle East, Near East, and Far East, perhaps the greatest degree of rancor was preserved for Moscow and the Russians. Within decades after the fall of Constantinople to the Ottoman ruler Mehmed II on 29 May 1453, there were many in the Eastern Church who looked to Moscow to become the Third Rome. The idea became more real when the Russian monk Filofey of Pskov in 1510 sent this panegyric to the Grand Duke of Muscovy, Vasily III. Two Romes have fallen, the third stands, and there will be no fourth. No one shall replace your Christian tsardom. Consistent with this passing of the Eastern Christian mantle to Moscow were rumors that the priceless collections of books and manuscripts in the Vatican Library with the first 1400 years of the history of the Catholic papacy in Constantinople had not actually perished in the flames of Muslim iconoclasm, but rather that the entire Byzantine library had been secretly transferred to the Moscow Kremlin for safekeeping. In 1533, Ivan IV was the first Russian Tsar, the first Russian leader to be coronated as Tsar by the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church. Ivan IV is more popularly known by his other name, Ivan Grozny, or Ivan the Terrible. One of the greatest examples of Vatican intrigue against Moscow would take place in the wake of Ivan the Terrible's death at the end of March 1584. Obsessed with recovering the lost treasures of the papacy's Byzantine library, and also seeking to reunite the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic churches, agents of the Vatican descended upon Moscow seeking information on the whereabouts of the missing Byzantine library. The background for the covert operation that followed was based on the fact that Ivan the Terrible had died without a male heir. In fact, in 1581, Ivan beat his pregnant daughter-in-law for wearing immodest clothing at the Moscow court, a beating that is believed to have caused the miscarriage of a male heir to the Russian throne. When Ivan the Terrible's son, also Ivan, challenged his father's violent abuse, the father struck the son in the head with his pointed staff, killing his own son, the next in line to the Russian throne. This event is depicted in the famous painting by Ilya Repin, Ivan the Terrible, and his son Ivan on Friday, 16 November 1581.